Well, please turn with me back to Ephesians chapter 1. We are booking our way through this. A couple of weeks after hearing a powerful sermon about lies and deceit, and that God knows all and sees all and hears all, a man wrote the following letter to the Internal Revenue Service. He said, "I have been unable to sleep knowing that I have cheated on my income tax. I understand my taxable income and have enclosed a check for $150, sincerely, taxpayer. P.S. If I still can't sleep, I'll send the rest." That has absolutely no connection with this message. So with that out of the way, let's move on to Ephesians. Verse 1. "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this letter that we've just barely scratched the surface of over these last few weeks. And as we look at a single expression today, one phrase, I pray that we might find joy and encouragement, and that we might in turn be able to be a blessing to others around us as we rejoice in what you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen. These two verses form a very short salutation right here at the beginning of this letter. As he writes a letter, we see that this is a standard salutation that Paul uses whenever he writes to fellow believers, wherever they may be. As a matter of fact, if you've read through the New Testament, you're going to find that Paul uses the same phrase when he writes to the Romans, in both letters to the Corinthians, when he writes to the Galatians, to those believers in Philippi, the Philippians, to the Colossians. He uses the same greeting in both letters to the Thessalonians, as well as in his personal letters to both Titus and Philemon, all of which make up a significant portion of the New Testament. And when he's writing his two letters to Timothy, he uses grace and peace, and he also adds the expression mercy. So this is very, very common. And it's not common just with Paul. Peter and John also use variations of this same greeting in their writings. So this is a common phrase and very familiar to us. But when we stop to consider the significance and meaning of this phrase, we realize that we should never just skim past this as if it's nothing more than a hollow formality in letter writing. Much like we might use the expression, "Dear so-and-so," "Dear Internal Revenue Service." You know, the expression "dear" does not necessarily mean anything, right? When we write "Dear Internal Revenue Service," we mean anything but dear. They're not dear to us. And so when we see a salutation that is familiar and common, it's easy for us to pass over that as if it is meaningless. But this short sentence provides a glimpse into profound and life-changing truths about who we are in Christ and how God wants us to live for Him and how God will use us in the lives of others. So both grace and peace in verse 2 here are repeated multiple times even throughout this one epistle, Ephesians. So we'll be returning to these several times in the months ahead. Today's examination is going to be essentially an introduction as it applies to the saints who are in Perump. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, you know that this is a term that refers to us. I love this. So today's examination of God's Word as it applies to the saints who are in Perump will serve as an introduction to these vital truths and hopefully whet your appetite for more to come in the coming months. So listen again to the apostle's salutation in verse 2. "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." In Paul's greeting, we are reminded that Christians are the recipients of God's grace and peace. Christians are the recipients of God's grace and peace. If you're new with us, you might find in your bulletin tucked in there a study guide, and we encourage you to utilize that. The letters that show up in yellow behind me on the screen or the fill in the blanks for you. I just find that it kind of helps us stay connected, being able to track where we're going with this message and focusing on these truths. So in Paul's greeting, we're reminded that Christians are the recipients of God's grace and peace, and both grace and peace are inherent in salvation. They are a part of salvation. When we talk about salvation, we're talking about grace and peace. We could define grace as God's unmerited favor. That's not in your outlines, but you might want to jot that little phrase down. Grace is God's unmerited favor. We see that brought out for us in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, where Paul writes, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, all who put their trust in Jesus." The grace of God brings salvation. So clearly, grace is inherent in salvation. When I talk about salvation, I'm talking about grace. When I talk about grace, ultimately I need to communicate the truth of salvation. So if grace is the unmerited favor of God, then we could describe peace as the result of Jesus Christ removing the enmity between sinful man and holy God. I realize that's a long phrase to write down there, but you could just say that peace is the result of being made right with God. Jesus Christ has removed the barrier that separates us from God. By taking away our sin, by dying on the cross for our sins, the barrier that separates us from a holy God, because we are sinful men and women, has been removed by Jesus Christ. The result of that is that now I have peace. A peace with God, as Romans chapter 5 says, verse 1. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith," that's an expression of salvation, justified just as if I'd never sinned, because Jesus Christ removes that sin. "Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Peace is the result of having been justified, of Jesus Christ removing our sins from us. By the way, he goes on in verse 2 of that passage, Romans 5, and says, "Through him we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." So both peace and grace are expressly pointed out here in Romans chapter 5. This is inherent in salvation. Grace, which brings me the unmerited favor of God, which brings me the salvation that is available only through Jesus Christ. And peace, which is the result of experiencing the removal of my sin and bringing me into a right relationship with God. So it's right for us to say that both grace and peace are inherent in salvation. Secondly, point B, for a Christian, every day is lived in God's grace and peace. Every day is lived in that sphere, in that context, with this truth, these truths that surround us. Our Creator identifies Himself in 1 Peter 5:10 as the God of all grace. You want to talk about God, you're going to have to talk about grace. That's who our God is. He is the God of all grace. If you want to really understand grace, you're going to have to talk about the God who is the God of all grace, our Savior Jesus Christ. He also identifies Himself in Hebrews 13:20 as the God of peace. So we've got very expressly God saying, this is who I am. I am the God of all grace. I am the God of peace. As we talk about our grace and peace being inherent within our salvation, we realize that not only at the point of salvation do I experience God's grace and am I brought into His peace, but that from that day on, every day for a Christian is lived in that context. Amen. Is lived in the context of the fact that God has bestowed His unmerited favor on me, His grace, and that I am made right with Him, therefore I am at peace with God. Having accepted the forgiveness that comes through Jesus, and having been reconciled to God by the blood of Jesus Christ, I am permanently and continually living in the sphere of God's grace and peace. I think that's an important truth that we need to work on recognizing on a daily basis. Because it's so easy for us to get caught up in the issues of daily life and the concerns and, as Jesus put it, the worries of this world. It's so easy for us to get caught up in those things that we lose sight of the fact that every single day I am living in God's grace and peace. It is there. Secondly, in Paul's greeting, we're reminded that as Christians, we are called to spread God's grace and peace. As Christians, we are called to spread God's grace and peace. In each of Paul's letters, he was expressly spreading God's grace and peace. This should be the pattern for all believers. Verse 2 again. Grace to you. So now he is talking to this group of believers. In this particular case, it's the believers who were in Ephesus. But in each letter, we see him addressing a different group. And as we saw from the first week, even what Paul wrote to the Ephesians applies to us today. So Paul is saying, this is for you. I am spreading this. Grace to you and peace to you. It's implied there. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I like this being established as a pattern for us. We need to, in the same sense that Paul was doing it as he wrote to them, we need to be spreading God's grace and peace to all of those around us. The message of the gospel is a message of grace and peace. Point A. How do we spread grace and peace? By spreading the gospel. Because the message of the gospel is a message of grace and peace. You spread grace and peace every time you share the gospel. Every time you share your faith in Jesus Christ. Every time you share that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You are spreading grace and peace. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, "For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God." As grace extends to more and more people, Paul says to the Corinthians. He'd already wished them and bestowed upon them the grace and peace of God and tried to spread that to them. And now he's saying that as God's grace extends to more and more people as a result of you sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with others, then it is going to be contagious, as it were, and it's going to create a great sense of thanksgiving. Indeed, I would go so far as to state that if you have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, every time you hear a message on grace, you probably come away with a renewed sense of thanksgiving. Because how can you not? It's all about the unmerited favor of God being poured out on us. So it's right for us to want to share that with others so that they too are going to be able to experience God's grace and be motivated to a greater sense of thanksgiving. We also spread God's grace and peace by demonstrating both grace and peace. Point B, believers should exemplify grace and peace in their interactions with others. Exemplify, simply a big word that means when people look at you, they're going to see that as an example. They're going to see that showing that this is who you are, this is what you do. So believers, you and me who profess faith in Jesus Christ, should exemplify grace and peace in our interactions with others. So you spread the grace and peace of God when you live a Christ-like life. You do it when you share the gospel, and that's a verbal sense of communication of grace and peace. But you also do it when you live a Christ-like life, because you are exemplifying God's grace and peace. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "As each has received a gift," by the way, that word gift is very much connected to grace. So God has given us His grace, and He goes on to talk about that there in this verse. "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." God has given me grace, the grace of salvation. He has also, through His grace, given me certain talents, abilities, gifts. I stand up before you as one who has received the gift of God to be a teacher, a pastor teacher. And each time I share with you the good news of Jesus Christ, I share with you the joy of what it means to be the recipients of God's grace, you in turn are blessed by that. And you find yourself looking at the Word of God, perhaps with some fresh insights, and certainly with a renewed sense of gratitude and thanksgiving for what God has done. It's because I'm using the gift that God has given me in order to administer to you God's grace in its various forms. And by the way, each of you does the same. We've recently had a few memorial services, and even though those are times of some sorrow and some grieving, they're also times of rejoicing, and they're always times that provide us opportunities to use our gifts. So when I go downstairs, after I've worked here to be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ in a very concise way, to use my gift to be able to minister to others, then when I go downstairs, I don't go downstairs and cook a meal. I don't go downstairs and set tables. That's already been done. It's been done by those of you who are administering God's grace in its various forms. Each of you has areas that you excel in. And when you do that, you are exemplifying the grace and peace of God. You are allowing others to be able to benefit from that. Romans 14:19 says, "So then, let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding." We build each other up as we share God's grace, and we pursue what makes for peace. We are doing that so that we can exemplify the very grace and peace that God has given us. I get that grace and peace through faith in Jesus Christ. I share that through the gospel message, and then I exemplify that through my interactions with others in every way. This is what God would have us to do. As Christians, we are called to spread God's grace and peace. Thirdly, in Paul's greeting, we're reminded that grace and peace come only through the Lord. They come only through the Lord. It's significant to note here that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2, that this is one of many scriptures that support Jesus' deity. Deity meaning that He is God. In this passage, we see that brought out in, again, one of many different passages. But listen again to the way that it's phrased. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this doesn't mean that we've got two different sources of grace and peace. It is acknowledging, as the scriptures repeatedly emphasize, that there is one God. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God, the Holy Trinity. And when we talk about Jesus and the Father giving grace and peace, this is coming from one God. So it emphasizes the fact that Jesus is God. A different person from the Father, different person from the Holy Spirit, but one God. No, we don't fully understand that because it's a truth that has no parallels. But we know that it is true, and we understand that this emphasizes the deity of Jesus Christ. But listen to Revelation chapter 1. This starts with verse 4. And here's the expression we have. Grace to you and peace. Okay, we've heard this before. So John is writing this, and as he's writing this, he tells us how he is communicating this grace and peace. Grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come. This is the Father, our Heavenly Father, God. And from the seven spirits who are before His throne. Some translations use the expression the sevenfold spirit. It's generally acknowledged that this is likely a reference to God's Holy Spirit. So we've got the third person of the Trinity. And from Jesus Christ, here's the second person of the Trinity. So the Trinity is all right here in these verses. From Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood, and made us a kingdom, priests to His God and Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So John says, grace to you and peace, the same expression that Paul often uses. And he makes it clear that this comes from God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It all comes from God. Grace and peace come only from the Lord. That's where we get it. That is what grace and peace are all about. We could say it this way, apart from Jesus Christ, there is no lasting grace and peace. Well, that's not to say there aren't some similarities to grace and peace, because there are. Each time we do something to someone that they don't necessarily deserve, that we share something with them, we give them something, that is a reflection of grace, absolutely. Each time we pursue peace, even those who are not believers can pursue peace, and it's a reflection of peace, but it's not lasting grace and peace. So point A, apart from Jesus Christ, there is no lasting grace and peace. Romans 5 again, let me just read that for you. We read it a moment ago, but listen to it again. Verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, that's our salvation, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only source of lasting grace and peace. He goes on, through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So we have peace and we have grace, and both of them come through Jesus Christ, through His shed blood, through His sacrifice. That is the only source of lasting grace and peace. Jesus Himself put it this way in John 14:27. Jesus declared, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." So Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you a peace that the world cannot comprehend. It goes beyond anything that you'll ever experience in the world. Because lasting grace and peace come only through Jesus Christ. And He told His disciples, "Peace I give to you, my peace, a peace that is not like the world." Since faith in Jesus is what brings us into the saving grace of God and allows us to experience peace with God, as we've seen in these references, then without Jesus there is no lasting grace or peace. Point B, through Jesus Christ, complete grace and peace are readily available. Complete grace and peace are readily available through Jesus Christ. When we talk about grace and peace, there are times when some may feel like that's just so far beyond their reach, that whatever it is that's going to be required for them to be able to find that, to gain that, is beyond them. They're never really going to be able to experience that. And the Scriptures declare otherwise. It's readily available. Now, some of us may think, well, if only I could be out, you know, mining for gold and I could strike the mother lode and find this vein that is just chock full. But how many people in this world ever find that? It's not going to happen to me. Some of you are thinking, if only I could win the lottery, you know, I bought one of those tickets. Why can't I get $100 million? And you think, okay, well, it's probably not ever going to happen to me. Oh, if only I could find grace and peace, but it's probably not going to happen to me. Well, according to the Scriptures, it is readily available. Amen. It's there. We read in Hebrews 4:16, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace." What does He mean with confidence? It means you're going to be, no, it's going to happen. It's there. It's right there. It's available. So you can draw with confidence near to the throne of grace, that we might find mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Sometimes in our time of need, we are fearful that we're never really going to be able to access that grace and peace. And God says exactly the opposite. You have a time of need, draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, and you will find mercy and you will find grace to help in this time of need. And 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, "Now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all." This is the truth about how readily available this is. At all times and in every way. And some of you are thinking that you just wish that you could grasp a little bit of that peace from time to time in your life. You don't expect necessarily to experience this on a daily basis, but if every once in a while you could just get a taste of it. And I'm saying you're aiming way too low. According to the Scripture, it is readily available. Hallelujah. At all times and in every way. And you can draw close to the throne of God, to the mercy seat, to the place of grace, and you can experience God's grace and God's peace in a very real way right here, right now. Number four. In Paul's greeting, we are reminded that the ongoing acquisition of grace and peace is desirable. Sometimes we think it's just too much to wish for, too much to hope for. Sometimes we think, well, it's really not fair for me to think that God is going to give me His grace and His peace. I don't really deserve that. Okay, well, let me remind you of the definition of grace. Unmerited, meaning undeserved favor. No, you don't deserve it. That's beside the point. It's readily available because God makes it readily available. And therefore, the ongoing acquisition of grace and peace is desirable. Although the principal aspect of grace is God's unmerited favor that brings salvation, we can, and indeed we do, also experience God's unmerited favor in unnumbered kindnesses that God shows us every single day. It is salvation, first and foremost, but it is far more than just salvation, as wonderful and eternal as that is. Every single day, God pours out His blessings on us in ways that we seldom even stop to think about. For example, have you thanked God today that you're breathing? Some of you have. I've talked to you. You've got COPD and you thank God every moment that you've got another breath. Okay, thank God for that. But many of us, we don't think about those things. And yet, that's an expression of God's grace. The fact that you took a breath this morning. The fact that you were able to get here. Whether you walked, crawled, were in a wheelchair, whatever it may be. The fact that you're here is an expression of God's grace. Well, when you start counting those kind of things up and you count your many blessings, you find out that you can't even list them all. That's a result of God's grace. Although the principal aspect of peace, as we've looked at it here in Ephesians, is the result of Jesus Christ removing the enmity between sinful man and holy God, between me and God, peace is also a sense of, we might say, confident tranquility in the knowledge that our Savior has everything under His sovereign control. Some of you probably have thanked God for that today, because you look at your circumstances and you think they're not exactly ideal. But you can't see the end. All you know is that God has promised to bring good. And so you thank God for that. And my experience personally, and my guess is that many of you would have the same experience, is that the result of that is an increased sense of peace. Now, I don't know what's going to happen, Lord. I don't know how today is going to unfold. I don't know what's going to happen with my loved ones who are ill. I don't know what's going to happen with my job or my lack of a job and when I'm going to get into it. I don't know this. I don't know that. But Lord, I trust You because You are sovereign. Because You love me enough that You've sent Jesus to be my Savior and Lord. Therefore, I trust You and I thank You that You've got all things under control. And a renewed sense of peace comes on me. Not only the peace of knowing that I am made right with God because the enmity is removed, but the sense of peace, that confident tranquility of knowing that God has all things under His control. Depending on your level of spiritual maturity and your practical faith, your sense of peace is going to vary. And so not all of us are at the same level in terms of our daily basis of peace. Therefore, we see in the Bible that God wants us to experience increasing measures of His grace and peace. Point A. God wants us to experience increasing measures of His grace and peace. So we read in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, may grace and peace, so here's Peter using the same kind of expression that Paul has used, that we've seen John has used, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. ESV says multiplied. We get the idea of multiplication here. It's more and more and more. The NIV says grace and peace be yours in abundance. So once again, the sense of so much that it's overflowing. New English translation says, may grace and peace be lavished on you as you grow in the rich knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. All of these are trying to get a sense of what God is saying here. And it is that He wants us to experience grace and peace more and more and more and more. He wants grace and peace to be so abundant in our lives, so lavished upon us that it spills out all around us. This is what God wants for us. So God wants us, He wants you to experience increasing measures of His grace and peace. Which means that when you leave here today, you are going to have to be thinking about the fact that whatever grace and peace you have right this minute, God wants it to be more than it is. So that means, by definition, this message applies to every single individual in this room. Point B. Desiring abundant grace and peace is appropriate. Don't feel guilty about this. Don't think, well, I really don't deserve it, which is true, by the way. But instead think, thank God that He wants me to have that. And if God wants me to have it, well, I sure want to have it. So desiring that is appropriate. It's appropriate because God is able and willing for you to gain that through Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 says, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Our God is able, and it is His will for that to happen in your life. That gives us a fresh lease on life. If you've been kind of trapped in this misery mode, which many of us get trapped in because we're so focused on the world and the worries of this life that we stop thinking about what God has given us. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Increasing measures of God's grace and peace are simply a matter of staying close to Jesus. You're wondering, how do I get it? Stay close to Jesus. Romans 8:6. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, excuse me, that was 2 Peter 3:18. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How do you do that? How do you grow in the grace and knowledge? Well, you do it by being here, by worshiping together, by studying together, by coming to understand exactly what God says. And then Romans 8:6 says, to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Where is your mindset? That's the question. If your mind is set on things of this world that are temporary, then that's death. If your mind is set on the things of God, the things of God's Holy Spirit, that's life and that's peace. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22 and 23. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You want peace? Let the Spirit do His work. Live a life close to Jesus. In previous weeks, we've seen that we are the faithful. We've seen that God has called us to Himself. We are identified with Him. We are Christians. We are Christ followers. Today we see that we are a people who have received grace and peace and who spread grace and peace to others. This is who we are. This is our identity in Christ. We are a people who have received grace and peace and who spread grace and peace to others. We don't deserve either God's grace or His peace, nor can we earn either one, by the way, but it does come at a great cost. The grace and peace that brought us forgiveness and eternal life were bought at the price of the broken body and shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let me pray as our servers come to the front and we prepare to take the communion. Lord, we thank You for Your grace and peace that have been lavished upon us. What a wonderful expression. And I pray that as we partake in these elements right now, that we might be able to partake with a renewed sense of thanksgiving for what You have already given us and for what You have promised us as we walk close to Jesus. For we pray in His name, amen.